We're going to go to the book of John this morning, chapter 9. When I was looking at Yuritsa and Betty, they look the same but different. Aren't we all the same but different all the time? Right? The more we're with God, the more God works in us and through us. We might be the same but really different, aren't we? Called spiritual growth. It's wonderful to see. John chapter 9, another story about someone that God touched and I see how it's going to relate to each other. So, beginning at the first verse. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Teacher, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it a result of his own sins or those of his parents? It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus answered. He was born blind so the power of God could be seen in him. So here's the thing. No matter where we're born and when we're born, why we're born, all of us, whatever our condition might be, whether we live in a foreign country and we have no parents to speak of in terms of other than God giving other parents to us and brothers and sisters in Christ. Some of us grew up with great families and some of us didn't. Some of us grew up in poverty. Some grew up in wealth. Some of us grew up with some physical deformities and problems. Our family might have had that, maybe illnesses, maybe addictions. All of us are born into something, haven't we? Right? And we see that this man was born blind from birth. So he had that affliction where he could not see. And so the disciples, they wanted to know, why was it? What went wrong here? Whose sins was it? As though that somebody could bring upon themselves something wrong because of their sin or their parents' sins. So do you see how the disciples got things wrong, spiritually speaking, right from the get-go? Jesus had to teach them that no matter what we're born into or what we're born with, it doesn't matter because it's all for the same purpose, isn't it? Why are we all born? Well, it says it right here. It says, so that the power of God could be seen in him. So the power of God. So that, here's the thing. I believe it's this. We can be born a certain way. We could live a certain life. And when God steps in, like Christ is right there with the blind man, when he comes into that person's life, they become what? Different. Don't they? Don't they? Don't you? Yes? Don't we all? Of course we do. Doesn't matter where we're from. It's a matter of who we are in Christ and the fact that we all belong to God. No matter what country we live in, no matter what city we live in, no matter what kind of circumstances we find ourselves, we're all in here to show the power of God. All of us. All of us. All of us. He was born blind so the power of God could be seen in him. All of us must quickly carry out the tasks assigned us by the one who sent me. Because there is little time left before the night falls and all work comes to an end. He's speaking of his own work. But while I am still here in the world, I am the light of the world. Because this man is seeing what? He's in darkness, isn't he? Right? So while Jesus is in front of this man, what does he bring? Light. In all of our lives, whenever there's darkness of any kind, any way, shape, or form, emotionally, spiritually, physically, otherwise, right? No matter what kind of darkness we find ourselves in, Jesus is the light and brings light to that and also lightens our spirit as well, gives us hope. Then he spit on the ground. He made mud with the saliva and smoothed the mud over the man's eyes. So he takes his saliva, puts it into the earth, right, which is what people are made from, the dust. We came from dust. We're clay, right? So look what Jesus is going to do. He's going to remake this man, at least with his eyes. And he takes his saliva, which is the power of God, right? Right? Jesus is God. So he takes his part of himself, puts it into the mud, and then he puts it over the man's eyes. What's going to happen, do you suppose? Guy's going to have muddy eyes. He's going to be, oh, get this junk off me. Watch what's going to happen. He told him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Siloam meant sent. So he sent the man to a pool to do what? Wash off his eyes. Now, by the way, the pool of the Siloam is the same place where people would be on mats, paralyzed, couldn't walk. And then the waters would, people would go into the water and they would come out healed. So you notice how water is important here. We call this a water baptism, if you will, right? So he's got mud over his eyes, a new creation, and he goes into the water because he sent him there. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. Thus the verse, I was blind, now I see. A process, right? A process. Now, this is a literal thing, obviously. Now, I know some of you are wondering, okay, for those of us that have physical ailments or whatever it might be, we're going to go outside and get some mud and get some, make you go walk in water and all that sort of thing. You're taking it literally. But soon as Jesus took a part of himself and put something new on this man in a physical way, when Jesus touched him, the healing occurred then. What also happened was the man's faith to go and wash is what also was a part of that as well. So our faith and Jesus touching us is what causes change to happen. So if you're looking for some answer in your life and you can't seem to find it and it seems out there and you're blind to it, so to speak, if you put yourself in the presence of Jesus Christ, you go to God in prayer and you have faith and whatever God tells you to do, you do it, even if it sounds a little odd. Whatever it might be, you obey that and you go and do it. Or you just sit in the presence of God and somehow Christ touches you, the Holy Spirit touches you. Things are going to change in your life, aren't they? Aren't they? Okay, all right. Some of you believe. Okay, good. We'll get there. His neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar. So here's, this is a before story, right? People knew this man as a blind beggar. And that's as all they were ever going to see him as, right? The blind beggar. He was known as the blind beggar. He doesn't even have a name in the scriptures. The blind beggar. Imagine walking around through your life being the blind beggar. And that's as far as people saw you as or what you saw yourself as. Is that where God leaves us? Never. Never, ever, ever. Never, ever, ever. His neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other as he came walking back, right? Now, first of all, I kind of wonder, how did he get to the Pool of Siloam when he couldn't see? His faith guided him. We walk by faith, not by sight. That's where that scripture connects, right? He had faith to go do what Jesus said to do, right? Faith is so important in all of our lives. The faith that God can do and use us and give us power to heal us and restore us and change us. From being a blind beggar, if you will, or whatever we want to call ourselves that's negative, to something different. And people might still look. How many of you have changed in here that have been coming to church? Anybody changed? God has changed your life a little? God has changed your life a lot? Right? And it took some physical in between, people's faith and trust to help, right? And their faith in doing their part, right? They were sent. You know, a man sent, he went. So he did his part. He walked his steps, didn't he? See, God wants us not only to, you know, go to him, but also when we go to him, we have the faith to do and move and do whatever God's calling us to do. We walk the walk. We take one step at a time, don't we? One small step is all it sometimes takes to find our healing, to find our wholeness, to find our change. And it doesn't matter what the people think of you or thought of you or you thought of yourself. Isn't it good to know that you're not who you think you are? Because some of us have negative opinions, right, of ourselves or others. Opinions are all fine and good, but they're not bringing glory to God, are they? That's not who we are ultimately, is it? No. So they saw him, and they asked each other as he was walking by, obviously looking around, I'm sure, going, wow, what a great world this is. I can see it now. And his neighbors say, "Is this the same man, that beggar?" Some said he was, and others said, "No, but he looks like him." Some of you look the same as you've always looked, right? Older, maybe. And some of us, we might look the same most of the time, but are we different? Hopefully. I hope and pray that each and every one of you that are young, because many of you are, I hope that and when you get to my age, which is slightly older than yours, but when you get there, I pray that you're different than what you were when you were younger. I pray that you don't call yourself what you used to be, whatever that was, especially if it's negative. And I hope you dispel and don't pay attention to what other people want to claim you as or name you as. Because you is a child of God. That's who you is. That's right. And the beggar kept saying repeatedly, "I am the same man. I am this. This is me. I'm me. I'm different inside, but I'm the same man that used to be." So here's what I want to tell you. Your past does not have to equal your future. Yeah, praise God for that. Now, if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you got. But if you step, there's a middle. I believe in a middle, always. Because some people can do the same thing over and over and over from 20 years old and 70 years old, they're doing the same thing. You know people like that, maybe a couple? A few? Hope it's none of you or me, right? But here's the thing. When we truly want to see, spiritually speaking, not just physically, when we truly want our life to be changed for the better, we put ourselves in a position to be near God. And that God touches us, however God does. It could be through a song here at church. It could be through a testimony. It could be through awesome preaching. It could be from mediocre preaching. It doesn't really matter, because God can touch through the power of the Holy Spirit, right? And are you going to be the same tomorrow as you are today? Hope not. How can you be the same, look the same, sound the same, weigh the same, and be different? What changes? The heart changes. And spiritually. When our heart changes and when we find peace in that, we become different, don't we? When we have a strong relationship with God and we make God the most important entity that we have, and we rely on God to make us different, different in a better way, more glorious, showing that what we used to be is not who we are now. That's how we all bring glory to God. Every one of you and all of us can be transformed. Do you believe that today? What has to happen? When God comes and touches you or calls you upon you and touches your heart, whenever, however that happens, it could be in the privacy of your own home. It could be while you're riding in the car. It could be while you're sitting out by a tree or by the water, wherever it might be, wherever God touches you, however you have that relationship with God. And whatever, when your time of prayer, when you're asking God to change something of you that hasn't changed yet, and maybe some of you are, you know, think that, well, my parents are this way, my grandparents, and therefore I have to be the same way. Do we have to be the same? No. We can be different, can't we? What has to happen in the middle? Jesus Christ comes into our hearts, into our lives. And we accept whatever it is that he asks us to do and become. And we start to follow him, right? By reading the word, seeing what he's calling us to do and be. We do our part. We walk the steps, whatever they may be. And it can be very small steps if necessary. So they asked him, "Who healed you? What happened?" He told them, "The man they call Jesus." Now, he doesn't call him Jesus, right? The man they call. Who's the they? His disciples and all the other people? This man quite doesn't understand. He doesn't know that he can be in relationship with Christ at this point. The man they called Jesus made mud and smoothed it over my eyes and told me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash off the mud. So I went and washed, and now I can see. He didn't even have a belief in Jesus. He knew other people did, right? But because Jesus told him to go do that, he went ahead and followed it. Where does your faith have to start? Anywhere. It can start anywhere. And later in the story, by the way, he decides he wants to follow Jesus. He realizes, I've been changed. Something changed in him that he wanted to continue following Christ. But Jesus says, go back and show everybody what God has done for you. Now, he went back what? No longer a blind beggar? Now he's a seeing man, isn't he? Spiritually speaking. Each and every one of us and all people in every one of aspects of all of our lives, I believe God can change. I don't think there's a person on the planet that God cannot change by God stepping in, the person accepting that, asking for it, and going forward and moving with it. In Matthew chapter 13:33, I took a scripture there that says, the kingdom of heaven is like a woman putting yeast inside of dough. It permeates the whole thing and it grows. A little bit of yeast goes a really long way in the spirit, in spiritual realm of God, right? They're connected to me because of this. You do not have to have great big huge faith. How much faith do you have to have? The size of a mustard seed where you can't even see it. But what does it do? It permeates. It expands. What does yeast do to a loaf of bread, right? It makes it rise. A little bit of faith in Jesus Christ will cause you to rise and change and grow bigger and bigger and more and more. And who you used to be, you might look the same, you might sound the same, you might even dress the same, but what? You're bigger differently, spiritually speaking. As I've watched all the changes that occur throughout life, and this is the beauty of being somebody who's as old as me. I have experienced seeing transformed lives, thousands of them. You've seen two examples this morning, just a touch of all God has done in one little country. Not little to God, though. I don't speak the language. I probably destroy it more than most people try to. Becky does a much better job, yes. But for some reason, they understand. Absolutely. They understand God's love. Amen. They understand compassion. Amen. They understand that we care. And they understand where the source comes from to bless their lives. Jesus Christ, God Almighty. So no matter where we're born, you can bring God glory. And it doesn't have to be magnanimous and spectacular. It can just be a changed heart. But I do know that sometimes it's even more than that. It's larger than that. Perhaps these two have been known as orphans in the Dominican Republic. They've never been without a family. You've never been alone. You know that. For all of us, God is our Father. Jesus Christ is our brother. And we're all the body of Christ. All of us together are brothers and sisters. All of us. There's no one greater or less than in the family of God. We all matter to God. And all of you can bring God glory by just accepting Christ and letting God do in you something magnificent. You might be blind to who you are and how great you are. I hope you begin to see that you each have a purpose. I don't care who you are, where you've come from. Your purpose is no different than anybody else's purpose. And it's all for the glory of God. So for those of us that may have grown up and not maybe the best of families, our family put the fun in dysfunctional. But it wasn't much fun sometimes. But you know what? when God stepped in the middle of that, everything changed. I might look the same. I might sound the same. But to my family, they know I'm different. And you know what makes me different? Jesus Christ. So you can be the same, but different as you move forward through your life. Do not hold on to the labels of what you were or what people want to call you to be or limit you in any way, shape, or form. Because God's promises are unending, greater than you can even dream or imagine. And even if you're born or going through something difficult right now and it seems horrific and there are tragedies going on all over us and around us, even in that, great glory can come, can it? I think about the church where the shooting occurred at a Bible study. And the very first thing those people in that church chose to do is to forgive. That's big. And what testimony did they give to the rest of our country and our world by showing us how we can react to something awful? Showing the love and forgiveness of God to those that don't even deserve it. Is that not a Christ-like spirit? Yes, it is. So for all of you, whatever you're going through today, it's not your sins and it's not the sins of your parents. And you just didn't get the lucky draw, perhaps. So you think. But do you know what it's for? The glory of God, to show the power of God. When you come out of that position that you find yourself in, a little bit of faith, a little bit of trust in God, and God steps into the middle of all that, you will rise. And other people, those neighbors that see you and the people that know you will say, it looks like them, but they're different. They've come out of that fire. And wow, look at them. They've been transformed. That, my friends, is a testimony, is it not? So I don't know why you were born in the Dominican Republic. I don't know why I was born in East Providence, Rhode Island. But for all of us, it was for the glory of God. To show the power of God. That God can change anyone, I promise you. I'm the first example of God's hopefully still changing me, right? But I do know this. Because of these two being born in the Dominican Republic and all the others there, God was shown his glory. Because look what they became. Look what they became. And look how much they love God and God loves them. Does that not give you inspiration today? Does that not say to you, well, if they can change under their circumstances, maybe I got a shot, right? And God continues to bless their lives. And so it was a long trip for me to East Providence, Rhode Island, down here to Florida to become the pastor of this church. And Gail Schulte used to go to the Dominican Republic in 1989 and 90. And we started this church in 1993, and she said, let's help some people in the Dominican Republic. God stepped into the middle. And you saw what God did. Glorious. So my prayer for you this morning as we leave, be the same. But step into God's presence anytime you need it. And then you'll be different. So much better, so much greater. My prayer for you today and for the people in your lives. I want to see more miracles. You good with that? Amen. Let's watch and see what happens. Here's mud in your eyes.